Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Yes. 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 You know, I probably, Jeff, shouldn't be doing that because as we're recording this, I'm in my hotel room in Vegas.
Yeah.
My next door neighbor's probably going to think something else is going on in here. They're not going to think it's a wrestling podcast being recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, if you got a shared door, your neighbor's probably wondering, who the hell is this guy I got next to me? And so, yeah. Hey,
but if you were going to partake in the legal entertainment here in Vegas, you know what you would want to do, right?
What?
Be Manscaped.
Oh, boy. Like, seriously, if you're going to do it, you got to look good. We all know that. Tom and I know that. Like, that's just one of those things where, you know, right now, like, again, like, it is Olympic season. Like we said last week, like, if you're out there, we want you in gold medal form. We want you looking good. There's all kinds of products, but no matter what you get off the website, be it the new 4.0, whether you're old school, you want to get the 3.0 lawnmower, like maybe you want the nose hair trimmer. Like you're going to get that. Maybe you just want their razors. It's like whatever it might be, all kinds of the scents and things like that. I'm about to order myself some of the cologne actually. And so, but as same as it has always been, 20% off, free shipping, use the code payoff. And so you using that again, like every week, like, you know, it supports us. It helps us out. Like we're putting it out there because we want you guys to, you know, and guys and women, everybody to be able to, you know, participate in this and kind of check it all out. It's great products. Tom and I are both big fans and we wouldn't have signed up to be a part of this if we didn't think it was. And so we are no bullshit. As we had always says, 20% off, free shipping, use the code payoff. At manscaped.com.
We both use it weekly.
We still, yeah, right. Exactly. We didn't, like I said, I've said it before when we set out to do this, did I think that we'd be talking about, you know, our man garden grooming tips and techniques? Nope. But here we are. And you know what? We're better for it. And that's okay.
Just do me one favor, Jeff. Please don't ever FaceTime me while you're doing it.
I know that was an errant, you know, just, you know, I had a few Trulies. It happens, you know, so, you know, that, but that's okay. So we're still friends and that's the important thing.
All right. So let's get down to business. Punk, Brian, no DQ, AJ Lee's your special guest referee.
Yep.
Money in the Bank 2012. Why are we covering this?
Well, we didn't cover a ton of Money in the Bank this year, which feels odd. There was a lot of other like just stuff going on. We were going to try and get into the road to SummerSlam a little bit earlier this year. But of course, like the passing of Del Wilkes and just kind of happening. And the reality is like you and I did not want to sit through a full Money in the Bank ladder match. There isn't a ton of great matches outside of those like true Money in the Bank matches. And so trying to find one that we really kind of enjoyed and liked. And when I was kind of looking through, as always happens, like you and I are looking through the list or we're trying to find the matches. And then we're like, oh shit, how have we not covered this one? That was like, we saw some feedback on Twitter. We're like, yeah, how have you guys not covered like Mankind Undertaker? Like, you know, it's just one of those. We're like, oh shit, that's right. And so, you know, even like, you know, like these last couple of weeks, like Hogan, you know, the mystery partner. So this is another one of those where we don't talk, you know, and just the, we actually have not covered a ton of Daniel Bryan, Money in the Bank. We've not covered a ton of Money in the Bank. There's a lot of different reasons to cover this one for me. And so, but I just, you know, CM Punk, the more CM Punk we get on the show, I'm happy about that too.
Yeah. I kind of felt the same way. I mean, I love them both, but, God, it's hard to believe this was 9 years ago too. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But as you know, as I was doing my research for the show, I was pumped to talk, Punk, and you know, we're going to talk Punk. We'll talk Bryan.
Jericho, yeah, AJ, oh, yeah, all
there's
that.
There's a lot, yeah. There's a lot to discuss here, so I'm really excited. So, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do this, man.
All right, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right. So Money in the Bank 2012. This was season three of Money in the Bank, right?
We're on season three. Yep.
So here's what's funny. This was July 15th, 2012. This took place in Phoenix.
Yep.
I was living there. I have no idea why I didn't go to the show. I'm wondering if I was out of town or why I didn't go to this show. I really have no clue, but I...
You know what? I actually had looking at like Facebook memories. I think you and I were actually at a conference, our summer conference that we normally have, I think was late that year. And so I think you and I were at the conference.
That's what I was thinking too. We must have been there. That's so funny. Okay.
Yep. I'm with you.
All right. So let me go through this card. And this was a very, as you probably know, Jeff, a very well-received card, 75% thumbs up, according to the Observer poll. And then the match we're covering was Match of the Night, but there were some other really good matches too. Both Money in the Bank ladder matches were very well-regarded. So opening match, Dolph Ziggler, who's with Vicky Guerrero at the time, he wins a Money in the Bank briefcase. 18-minute match. He's in there with Christian, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Santino Marella, Sin Cara, Tensai, and Tyson Kidd.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of meat in the ring.
Yeah, and a lot of just interesting names. Well, and I mean, I guess Kidd and Tensai are both trainers.
Yep.
And then Ziggler's the only one still active with the company.
They're all out of there. Yep.
Yeah. Sheamus retains his title against Alberto Del Rio. Primo and Epico defeat the Primetime Players in a tag match. The match we're going to cover is right in the middle of this show, interestingly enough, and they're going to go 27 minutes. Got a lot to talk about. Then we get followed up with Ryback defeating Curt Hawkins and Tyler Rex in a handicap match when he was just doing that. We had a 6-diva tag team match, Caitlin, Layla, and Tamina against Beth Phoenix, Eve Torres, and Natalya. Tamina's been there a long time.
Not a lot of TV time for that one either. No, like,
I mean, you know, this was the Divas, right?
This is a very quick bathroom trip. Yeah.
Yeah. And then another interesting, now this was only a 5-person Money in the Bank. John Cena defeating Big Show, Chris Jericho, Kane, and The Miz.
Yep.
So again, 3.75 stars for that one, 4 stars for the opener, 4.25 stars for the match we're going to cover. So some good matches and some filler stuff, but overall seemed like a pretty fun show. So storyline standpoint, how do we get here, Jeff?
Yeah, so a lot happening to get us here, a lot of players involved, all this stuff. So like you said, this match Money in the Bank taking place July 15th, 2012. We're going to go back though to January. It was actually a returning Chris Jericho attacking Punk and Daniel Bryan. They were having a champion versus champion match at the time. It gave Bryan the win. These guys, CM Punk and Bryan had actually been wrestling in a few, they had had a lot of back and forth at this point, he's kind of going at. And so Jericho though, coming back at this point, singling out Punk for calling himself the best in the world, Jericho not agreeing with that one. So it started with Jericho and his involvement in Elimination Chamber that February. You had CM Punk beating The Miz, Chris Jericho, Kofi Kingston, and Dolph Ziggler, and R-Truth for the championship at that Elimination Chamber. So the next night, though, Jericho becoming the number one contender for the match at WrestleMania, that would be 25, 6, 7, 8. Yep. And so in retaining the title, of course. And so, and you know, Punk though, having a lot, you know, leading up to that point after Mania, having some matches with Mark Henry as well too. And so, you know, just really, you know, kind of a lot of back and forth here. Then Jericho and Punk having a Chicago street fight in April and Extreme Rules as well too, the end of that month. And so again, Punk beating Jericho to retain his title at that point. So, you know, so just a lot of back and forth. So then Over the Limit though, you had, again, Punk and Daniel Bryan having a match at that point. So that's May. So we're getting a little closer here. You kind of reversing, the yes lock, there was shenanigans, of course, things like that. And so just a lot happening. So adding another player to this as well too, you have Kane. And so, shortly just really before Over the Limit that May, you had Bryan was actually interfering in a match between Punk and Kane. He was framing Punk for attacking Kane with a steel chair. They had a three-way rivalry. This was the time of Team Hell No as well too. So, Kane and Bryant kind of working together, kind of, having that in the background. So June 1st episode, you have SmackDown, the championship match between Punk and Kane. It was a double DQ after Bryant attacked both guys. And this is where you have AJ Lee coming into the story here that, in the storyline world and kind of what was happening, she was Brian's ex-girlfriend, but turning, they say not turning on him, but kind of, starting to show her love and be attracted to both Punk and Kane. It culminated. It was actually a June 17 match in No Way Out where Punk beat, retaining the title after AJ actually distracted Kane. And so, kind of having that. So at this point you had, and this will come into play as we're watching this match and kind of what's happening. AJ was actually in, they had their on-screen romance with Daniel Bryan at this point. And so as much as AJ kept kind of saying she was in love with Bryan, she wanted to be with Bryan, he just would not return that affection toward her. And so this had been kind of building up through that, 2012 and kind of dealing with that. So, Big Show was involved with the storyline for a little while too. And so, and this of course was the time period as well too. The infamous, whatever you want to call it, the good luck kiss from AJ to Daniel Bryan, turning around and getting, Sheamus just beating his ass in 18 seconds. So, I would say infamous, other people may disagree with that, but who knows?
People were so mad about that.
Oh boy, were they mad at that one. Yeah. And so, that one will forever be one that's talked about. And so, So Bryan, of course, blaming AJ for his loss in that one it was actually for the World Heavyweight Championship, which, and they kind of ending the relationship. And so, AJ making multiple attempts to kind of get back with him, Bryan, having none of it. You had actually Natalya and Caitlin trying to comfort her in the storyline during this. And so, but she didn't like that, turning on both of them. And so not necessarily heel, but just they were going with the crazy girl angle, which, 2012, that's what we're rolling with. That's fine. And so, Punk and Kane believing that she was unstable because of the breakup. That's when you had some of the rematches and things like that. It's just, there was so many weird pieces to this. I'd say it was just the storyline itself was just kind of nutty. There were so many people involved in this one. If you're looking over the course of the 6 months leading up to this one. How we got exactly to this one though, is actually Bryant. He was actually beat Punk and Kane, at No Way Out to get a rematch at Money in the Bank against Punk. And so a little bit after that, you had AJ announces a special guest referee. And then literally it was as the pay-per-view was beginning on this one, WWE.com posted that there was going that this match was then going to have a no DQ stipulation added to it. And so not a lot of build on that piece of it, but you've got a really long story between why these guys were fighting. It really just, kind of kept going and kind of, had a bunch of matches. These guys really were in a lot of ways the top of the cards at this point. AJ involved in it because she's the crazy girl, affection toward everyone. So why wouldn't you make her the special guest referee? And then a no DQ getting added really at the last second, which people, if you were there, you probably wouldn't even know that it was no DQ because, that's just how it was. So, and then we get into this one. So as Punk, Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee is our special guest referee. And I'm sure we will have some special appearances by, some of the other names that were included in the build on this one. So Tom, thoughts?
What's interesting is these are two of the best in-ring performers, certainly of this era, if not ever. probably a bit overbooked.
Oh God. Yeah. Oh,
like yikes. Just saying, hey, I'm better than you. I think Les would have been more for this, but we'll see how it all plays out in the match.
Yeah, absolutely. Just all crazy. Right.
So 1 hour, 27 minute mark of Money in the Bank 2012. That's season 3 of Money in the Bank. 1 hour, 27 minutes. Are you ready?
I'm ready, man. Let's do this.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
Were AJ and Punk dating at this point? Do you have any idea when they started?
I'd have to look. I'm not sure.
I didn't know if you happen to know offhand. I was wondering about that.
I'll take a look as we're kind of talking through this one. Yeah. So I have to get into it because I'm interested in your thought. So these guys kind of getting right into it, kind of tying up and stuff like that. How about your thoughts on Jimmy Uso?
Yeah. So Jimmy Uso, another DUI. It's easy to say, hey, you should be Ubering, but you should be Ubering. And, you're a celebrity, a television star. You work for a publicly traded company. You're a public figure. The company you work for aims itself towards children. I mean, you can't do it, you know? And it's, luckily no one got hurt, but my God, you can't be doing this stuff, man. And no one should be doing it. But again, especially when you are, public and the company's public and it's a kid's product. I mean, it'd be no different than someone. I mean, in a lot of ways, the WWE is Disney.
Oh yeah.
So, in terms of like a big company with that, kind of a target audience. So you just can't do it, man. And
he obviously needs help. I think nobody would disagree with that it keeps happening. While it was three in the last 2 years, there was actually two more previous to that. I think is what I was reading. And so
yeah, I in the last only a second, but you think it's actually his third.
Yeah. In like the last 5-6 years, there's actually been like 4 or 5 of them. And so, yeah, he obviously, I know Naomi's been with him on some of these, like, they had some, I know they were on TMZ for some, some issues as well too. You want to see him get the help, but yeah, at a certain point, the reality, like, and you and I have, talked about this on the show before, at a certain point, it is a business. And so, and Vince will treat it as such. And so sometimes you can make TV out of these things. They had the rap battle where, they called out Xavier Woods and his, rated R activities that he has been filmed doing. You had, these things, Jeff Hardy, they have not shied away from some of that stuff with him as well too. And so, and if anything, I almost feel bad because, he has a problem, he needs help, and he's in, like some of these major, the top of the card storylines.
Yep.
And so, I almost wonder, the real world implications for like Roman and stuff like that. And I think that I had texted you that at the time, I forget exactly what I said, but it was, along the lines of like, if I were Roman, like I would be upset too, because one, like, it's your family, want them to be making good decisions and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, sometimes you gotta, walk away too. And so it's a, hey, dude, like you gotta fix your problem. You and I, work in an industry where, hey, sometimes you gotta take a break. You need to, to walk away for a little bit, take a week, take a month, whatever it was, to kind of address your personal issues. And this is one where, I feel like he needs that, because it's unfortunate. I like the Usos are great tag team. We did not talk about who the greatest tag team was either, the New Day, but according to WWE, but it's one of those, I always enjoyed watching them, it really does suck. And I would not be surprised that when we're recording, it has not happened, but if he was officially let go because of, what has happened and transpired, but yeah, it's unfortunate. It's sad.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
we're tied up a little bit here, just kind of the in-ring action. Not a ton happening to this point.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan, man, he got some of those kicks in. I his kicks are just the best.
Yes, kicks. Yep, absolutely. And so AJ doing a good job as referee right now, kind of staying out of the way and doing her part.
Around this time, they had announced that there was an Austin 316 edition of the video game.
Yes.
Which would have been WWE 13. And okay. Speculation was they were going to have like Austin on the cover of like the Attitude Era mode. And Punk, I guess, was also on the cover of the regular one. And the thinking was that they were really trying to build towards a match the following year, which would have been 2013. I mean, you talk about a dream match that I wouldn't say would have been completely unrealistic, right? I mean, there was a legitimate chance it could have happened. That would have been something, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, like so much of that, like, yeah. And that's always such a big deal. I know we've taken a year. Like, we don't incorporate the video games into what we're talking about very often, but yeah, that's one where, you know, they're taking a year off right now. They're trying to fix the video games and make them right. And that was one too. I remember, you know, when they're kind of incorporating those types of things, you just never know. Yeah.
So what happened with the latest video game? It's the last one they released just sucked, right?
Yeah. And that's what, and so for years and years, they've been like, you know, it's like the simulation style with, you know, stamina and kind of, you know, and really like the character models were bad. They stripped away a lot of the modes and things like that, you know, that used to have, a lot of video games, like so much of it was behind a paywall too. And so you weren't able to, you know, really get access to a lot of the NBA games, catch shit for that a lot of times too. It's just one of those where, you know, in order to, you know, actually get characters and do what you want to do, you got to pay a bunch of money. And so, and really just the game just absolutely shredded. And it finally got to the point that a lot of video games caught hell for that. Like that last few years, it's been some games just really catching hell for that type of stuff of just like, hey, like don't screw over your fans. And so they put out like, and you and I remember vividly, I'm sure, like the N64, or like, you know, playing those types of games, yeah, which were like a ton of fun. Like, you know, they were like, you know, just kind of nonsense to a degree too, you know, flick the center stick and do your finishing move type stuff. But anymore, yeah, it was just a combination of just poorly developed, like, you know, just they weren't fun to play, just terrible. If like you and I, like, you know, in different locations, whatever, try and play online, it would take us, you know, 10 minutes just to get into it, you know, get through all the menus and actually get into it. And then even then we'd be lucky to kind of, you know, actually get through a full match. It's just, and so, yeah, they took a year off. They've been teasing things, you know, hopefully we get a better product this year. I know you have secured a PlayStation 5. I am still trying to secure a PlayStation 5. So the hope is that, you know, it looks good on those next gen consoles and things like that. So yeah, we'll see what happens, but I don't have high hopes currently.
Well, exactly. So for the PlayStation 5, I bought Madden and NBA.
Both good choices. Yep.
Of yep. The actual PlayStation 5 versions.
Yep.
Oh my, it's incredible. Especially, yep. I mean, they're both great, but NBA was just out of this world.
Yep, absolutely.
So I hope that they come up with a, you know, really good game. You know, it's interesting. Like, this was 9 years ago.
Yep.
Has anything changed? Like in terms of like the ring and the barriers and the ramp. I mean, it's just interesting that like they really don't change up the presentation that often.
Yeah. Well, and you and I, like we're recording, you know, when we're recording this one, you know, we're right on the cusp of knowing whether or not there is new stage and what the new setup is going to be when they get back to live touring. And so, yeah, but at this point, like, no. And, you know, up to what we've seen to this point, it just hasn't been a lot. Like, you know, we're used to exactly how it's always been, you know.
I just wish that, you know, again, I get it. Like, it's a touring thing. But even just to make Raw and SmackDown look way differently, that would be cool.
Yeah, and we've got the draft on the horizon too is coming up here, which the end of August into September as well too. So again, I'm sure they'll do a draft, they'll make a big deal of it, and then it'll shit all over it, and it won't really matter in 2 weeks after that or 3 weeks after that. You know, that's just hard to say kind of how that's going to play out. So yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just we'll have to wait and see here. So.
All right, 10 best CM Punk matches on the WWE Network.
Before you, I was buffering. What's your timestamp right now? I want to make sure I'm with you.
Yeah, you know, this happens on this stupid Peacock.
Yep.
I'm at 1:36:30.
All right, got it. With you. Okay, so 10 best. Punk, go.
Money in the Bank at WrestleMania 25. This match. Three-way with Del Rio and Miz at TLC 2011.
Yep.
TLC match with Jeff Hardy. Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam 2013.
Makes sense.
Jericho at Payback 2013. Punk Bryan at Over the Limit 2012.
Yep.
Cena on Raw, which was a number one contenders match in 2013. Undertaker at WrestleMania 29. Cena Money in the Bank 2011.
Okay, which we've covered that one. Yep. All good matches.
A lot of great matches in that catalog, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one that we'll just, you know, we will, you know, you'll have to dig back in or, you know, go back to the list and kind of, you know, see which one of those we have or not have. And I don't think there's a bad one on that list. I am curious too. One we have not talked about is this been this tag team list that they came out with.
I didn't even look. I just saw that New Day was number one, but what can you share about that list? Cause that just seems absurd to me.
Well, and so I'm trying to get it pulled up right here so we can kind of talk about it and go through it. And obviously, you know, the big thing was that number one was the New Day. And, you know,
how long have they been together? It's been like forever, right?
Quite a while. Yeah, absolutely. I'll pull it up real quick and kind of as we're kind of talking through some of this one. Because there's just been like, it feels like a really long time.
Yeah.
So let's see here as I'm slowly kind of pulling
this. It's like the longest running faction. I mean, I guess they're technically not together now. I don't know why you would. I mean, I don't know. I'd like them to be on the same brand, even if, you know, Big E's going to be, you know.
So it says the stable was formed on July 21st, 2014.
7 years ago.
Yeah, which feels a lot longer than that. I do want to point out, we have once again, someone at this pay-per-view is practicing kendo beforehand because we are now in the ring with kendo stick because yep. Why wouldn't we be? So this will be interesting. So I'll just read off the top five here. Number one was the New Day. Number two is the Hardy Boys. Number three was the Hart Foundation. Number four was Edge and Christian. Number five was the Dudley Boys. I don't know. I don't know if I would put, like, while it's a great list, I don't know if the New Day should be at number one. A few other ones here just to kind of read off here that I feel like maybe could be, you know, number nine was the Brothers of Destruction. Number eight was the New Age Outlaws. Number 16, Rock and Sock Connection. D-Generation X was 21. The Shield was 22. Natural Disasters 34, Kane and X-Pac 44, Head Shrinkers 45. Coming in 50th, barely making the list, was the Bushwhackers. Which, you know, show some love for the Bushwhackers, absolutely. But who would, you know, I'm actually getting sick of the Mount Rushmore talk. I feel like it's, you know, we see it every week. Somebody keeps talking about their Mount Rushmore of wrestlers. But is the New Day number one for you? You know, so should somebody, one of those, you know, I read off, be higher? Like the Rockers are at 14. Can't forget about them.
I'm partial to the old school tag teams. Like, to me, when I think tag team wrestling, I think the Rockers, I think the Hart Foundation, I think Legion of Doom, Demolition. Like, those to me are tag teams, you know, not. Yeah. So.
And they got Demolition's at 11 on this one. Like, yeah. Like
Dudley's and Edge and Christian and the Hardys. But, you know, I don't know. New Day, no.
Well, and they take a few liberties here because, like, Hart Foundation, you know, Degeneration X, you got a lot of people like kind of shooting the belts between that. You know, you're free birding it at that point too. You know, you're getting a lot of that stuff in there, and so they gave zero rationale behind it, which of course they don't have to. But yeah, just one of those, like, no discredit to the New Day, absolutely, because they've done a lot. But would I necessarily rank them number one? I don't know. They've definitely had a long life. Like we just said, like, if it's been 7+ years, like, they definitely have some longevity, but they've kind of half broken them up now too.
So in the Observer, this was, so right after this was when the 3-hour Raws started.
Okay.
So if you can believe it, it's actually been that long.
Yeah, which 2012, it actually feels too short almost, but yeah.
Okay. So, so here's what Meltzer said. The plan as of this week is that the 3-hour Raws will be heavily social media focused. And over time, the first hour will be 75% social media and 25% Raw. That had always been the plan from day one, or at least the aspect of the first hour will be more of a pre-show than anything else. Eventually, when and if the network ever kicks off, they'll be doing a 30-minute or 1-hour live social networking show similar to the old WWE Livewire, just updated for the 2010s. They're also discussing turning some of the current YouTube shows into 30-minute network TV shows. So, Jeff, none of that actually happened. Zero.
Eventually, but like, he was about 8 years off. Yeah.
But I mean, none of that ever happened with this.
No, not in the immediate. No, absolutely not. Yeah, I think like now they've got like the bump, you know, or something, which is like your online and stuff like that. But as he was describing it in that moment, no. Yeah. And it just wasn't there.
It's kind of interesting. And I'm like trying to remember. I'm like, well, is that how it started? I'm like, no, that actually never happened.
Well, and I wonder, you know, some of it too, I get it, like, you know, what they may have been trying to say, but like, it's definitely not how it played out. And I feel like, you know, you're kind of really at the point of like, you know, I enjoy reading the, when they break down the time on the pay-per-view cards, because it's like, you know, 46% or if that, like, you know, 42% of the pay-per-view is actual wrestling versus like all the other stuff. And so, and you kind of want, I almost wonder, like, when they got into those 3 hours, we'd have to go back and kind of watch some of them and like put them on the clock and see like how much of it was wrestling, how much of it was them not having any idea how to fill the time. Like, cause it's hard to say. Yeah. Hey, like, and nowadays, like, we will never, you know, we've always said it. It's always the armchair of, hey, we need to get it back down to, you know, 3 hours Raw is too much. Well, we will never go back down. There's just, that's not a thing. That's not a possibility. There's too many dollars involved with it. I think if the, had he not getting the TV contracts he did when he did, I really wonder like how the ratings are going to affect those things when it's time to renegotiate. Yeah, we still got another, 7 years at least to Saudi Arabia too, you know.
The thing is with the ratings is they're still strong compared to other stuff. Like, all ratings are down.
So they're tops still, yeah.
Yeah, they're still tops. That's why, I mean, I know it's like, oh, no one watches wrestling anymore, and oh, the ratings and this and that. I'm like, okay, but it's still the highest rated or one of on cable. You know, well, it's still relatively, you know, and guess what? You get USA 3-hour Raw, you're talking about 156 hours of programming a month, 52 times three.
Well,
you know,
and
I mean, that's a lot of programming versus, you know, let's say you create a show. Well, that takes up an hour if it's like a drama, right?
Yep.
But then they do 15 episodes maybe. So it's just the amount of just, I mean, it's a great content property.
So we want to point out, we had AJ was knocked out. AJ's back now. you know, after we had a kind of a stand-in referee, she's playing up the crazy angle. Right. And that's the thing. Like, it saves USA from having a, well, really what at this point, at least 5 hours a week, because you got NXT too. And so all that's kind of happening.
Prime hours per week.
Right. Exactly. AJ getting involved with the no DQ. Getting chairs in the ring. Yeah, right. Absolutely. And so you got to wonder, because at the end of the day, like, they're still having their most profitable quarters ever. And so, you know, at the end, you know, we don't know exactly what they're looking for, you know, kind of what they want, like anything, because they're still making money just hand over fist. And so, yeah, sure. If, like, you know, the ratings suck, does it really matter if they're still, you know, you're not turning, you know, 500,000 into 5 million. You're really turning like 5 million into 5.25. Like, you know, the money's there. It's just how much more of it do they want? You know, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. But they have cleaned house. That's something else we have not talked about, is like Nick Khan has come in and just, like, I'd be worried to go into work some days and whether or not you're getting a slip.
And, you know, and the truth is it probably was necessary. You probably look at, you know, all these departments and company, and it's like, well, we have too many people in this department, and these two departments should be one department. And I mean, it happens with large companies, you know. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, they're trying to cut costs. I mean, yeah, I'm sure some of it is to make the company more profitable. But, you know, I think you just, you know, this guy's been there however long, a year, and hell, maybe it's been 2 years. I can't remember. But, you know, he's been there long enough now to look at things and go, okay, I'm reshaping the company. We have our own strategy now. And based on that, you know, we don't need these things. Part of it too was, you know, the networks looks a lot different now. Now it's, you know, they're basically providing content to NBC. So that's a different little business they're in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it was Rob Van Dam that came out, remember, after they released a lot of people right after Mania, and was like, you're always all shocked when this happens. Yeah. Like, why are you people, like, you know, surprised when all these things happen? And so, yeah, the reports
way too overbooked.
Oh, yeah. And so just about a year Nick Khan has been there.
Okay.
So, but to your point, you're right. Like, you know, and if he was, obviously he was Vince trusts in him. And now there have been some firings that we're not, I think there is some more behind the scenes stuff that we're not necessarily hearing, or it's not making, you know, of like certain people being released, and like Triple H, you know, the dirt sheet saying like Triple H didn't know, or kind of what was happening, or things like that. And so, you know, the return of, you know, Samoa Joe and things like that, Selena Vega, you know, hard to say, you know, with that type of stuff of like, sometimes it's, and you and I know, like, you bring someone in that, you know, and you and I work, you know, shoot jobs, work in industries where you need an outside eye. You need someone to come in and kind of and play the heavy hand sometimes. And that's what this is. Like, he is coming in with the heavy hand.
Yep.
CM Punk working Brian with chair shots.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be one of those people laid off or one of the wrestlers that were cut, but I think he's doing a pretty damn good job as chief revenue officer, if, you know, you're judging it based on profit and stock price and everything else. I mean, they were more profitable during the pandemic than they've ever been. So,
right.
They're doing a lot right as a company. Now, do I wish that the in-ring, you know, kind of TV product was better? Well, yeah, of course I do.
Oh, yeah. So they're playing up the storyline here with like AJ kind of, like, you know, who she is, you know, in love with and all this other stuff, which they did get married in 2014. So I don't know if they were dating at this point or exactly. I couldn't find that specifically, but a lot of like camera angles, like AJ playing up, like just her facial expressions and kind of what's happening, preventing Brian from getting hurt and stuff like that. And so, yeah, we're, she's kind of showing the, you know, the unsure of what she's doing, but yeah, and that's the thing, like, you know, Nick Khan, like, I get it. Like I remember there were some of those reports that, at the time there was cutting divisions that were a necessity during the pandemic, which are no longer a necessity. And so be it downsizing, be it, you know, cutting those departments, whatever it might be, you know, merging them with others. From a business side of things, if you kind of look at it logically, it makes a ton of sense.
I agree.
So here we go. Punk kind of slamming Bryant. Just kind of things happen in the match. Still just kind of going on. Just not a ton happening at Punk up on the top here. Missing a big elbow. That looked awkward too.
Yeah, it did.
So we always have to, I feel like we ask this every single time we see Punk. Are we going to see him in the ring again?
Yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't think you'd see him. You know, when do you think the last, like just guess, when do you think the last time he was in the WWE ring?
At this point, what's it been, 4 years, 5 years?
Seven.
Really?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, it was longer than I thought.
So almost just as long as this, like Jesus, like, oh, yeah. It feels odd because he's always in the conversation. Like, yeah. You know, it's so much of it. It's the same with like Undertaker. Like, it's only a matter of time. I know I caught shit online for this one, but it's only like same thing. I think it's only a matter of time before Undertaker shows back up. We hear the gong, you know, it's going to happen. You know, at this point too, you know, they're, you know, building a lot with Roman and Cena, and, you know, there's The Rock as well too. Like, you know, I was watching, like The Rock has just fine with his movie career too. I know he's just wrapped up filming the new DC movie, Black Adam. I was kind of reading his, I don't know if you read his diet workout routine, of how he was getting all of his meals measured and like, you know, measuring, you know, sodium, water intake, yeah. Like all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, like, and then like, it, you know, dude shows a picture of himself and you're like, oh yeah, like got it. Like, I get it. That's what you need to do to look that way. And motherfucker looks like, you know, he has been working hard for what he has. Like, yeah, absolutely. I always enjoyed reading those, but
he just looks like a freaking monster.
Well, and I always enjoy reading those kind of workout plans and stuff like that. Like Men's Health publishes a lot of that stuff. Like, you know, the movie stars and how they're getting super, you know, Chris Evans getting Captain America shape, or, you know, Chris Hemsworth. We've seen some photos of him getting bulked up to play Hulk Hogan too.
Yeah. Is that happening soon?
That's still happening. Yeah. They're filming and he's kind of working out, and Hogan has even come out and said like, he was not a big fan of the casting at first. And then he saw a bulked up picture of Chris Hemsworth and he's like, all right, brother, like it looks good. Like, you know? And so like, you know, so he's playing up that, you know, so that's getting played up as well too. So yeah, eventually that's supposed to come out here. I'm not sure when, or if it's filming or anything like that, but it's in production, you know, or in the pipeline. You know, we're going to see it eventually here of the, you know, Hemsworth said like, you got to have the 22 inch pythons if you're going to do this. So, yeah,
I hope it's good.
I, you know, who knows?
Well, project out there, you've got a Netflix documentary series of Vince McMahon, I believe.
That one, yep. You got that one coming out. Well, like the Fight for Your Family was good too. The Page one, I enjoyed watching that one.
I heard that was really good. I never saw it.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. And so the my partner liked that one as well too, that because she likes the girl that plays Paige in it. And so like, yeah. And so that, you know, that, you know, she enjoyed that piece of it. And that's, you know, it's one of those where she is not a wrestling fan, but she enjoys that storytelling part of it. That's why I feel like I could get her hooked on like Dark Side of the Ring, because like, you know, even those guys have said on like the beyond the, you know, or the Dark Side of the Pod, like, you know, they have a ton of people that watch that are not wrestling fans at all, but like the drama of it, it was like, yeah. It's, you can't look away. Like, and I was upset
right now.
My time, look at it. We're just struggling. I'm at 154, 25, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay. Yeah. We're there.
We're struggling today. Sorry, everybody.
No. It's actually that you never had this problem on the network. This is Peacock.
Yeah, right. No, that's what I'm saying. This is you and I, we have never had this issue kind of doing this. So here comes just a giant back body drop. Yeah.
Great. That was pretty awesome.
A great spot there. Fans popping hard. Fans are into it now. You see them up and down a lot too. You see AJ unsure about counting. There, 1, 2, 3. Finally, the table spot.
That was a hell of a suplex. So Punk wins.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
You know, now there was, I was reading something else about how they, around this time, they were trying to make sure they switched belts less often. Yes. I don't know how long that stuck or if they really, you know, followed it, but.
Who knows? Like anymore, I feel like we always talk about, like, there's just so many hot shot, you know, hot shotting the belt all over the place. It's just tough. And so, yeah, who knows, but.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get to the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, what'd you think?
The match was good. I think it was a little bit too long, but you know, they were telling a story, so it makes sense. And they had, there's a lot happening. And so you know, and building to other things. Again, this was really, you know, I almost feel like you're stuck in neutral almost because, like, you know, while the Hayes guys had a lot of matches, they had a lot of matches. So who knows? But again, also you're booking the top people. So that makes sense too. How about you?
Yeah, I just thought it was like really overbooked.
Mm-hmm. As it was.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with those guys in there, you just don't need all that. Right.
Right. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
We're
in agreement there.
So getting into this one, what happened after the fact? It was actually a week later. It was Raw 1000. This was one of the few failed Money in the Bank cash-in attempts, with John Cena cashing in his briefcase on that show against CM Punk.
Was Cena that the first cash-in that didn't go through?
I don't believe it was the first.
Okay, but maybe the second, if it wasn't.
But there was, there was a few. There's been six maybe to this point. Yeah, and so there has been a few that have not failed. We'd have to look it up real quick and just kind of see what's going on with that. But yeah, so him unsuccessful and kind of actually he won the match, but it was via DQ. And so I'm looking real quick here. Yes, that was the first one. So, I thought Damian Sandow was, but he was actually 2013. So, yeah. So you have that. So anyways, kind of winning the match, but it was via DQ. So not winning the title is actually from interference from the Big Show at this point. And so I put it in my notes. I don't know why I just didn't actually read what I had. This made John Cena the first wrestler to officially cash in the contract and not win the championship. So I was prepared getting ahead of myself. So there you go. But that evening, Raw 1000 was actually the special guest host, The Rock. He had actually interrupted Punk earlier in the show to announce that he would wrestle for the championship at Royal Rumble in January of 2013. He intervened to save Cena from a Big Show attack. Punk attacked The Rock. He became heel because of that. So you had these guys, just a lot happening with kind of all that stuff. You're kind of dealing with that. So you had at SummerSlam, the match, it was actually Punk and Cena and Big Show again, just shenanigans, but he retained because he pinned the Big Show. Cena submitted the Big Show at the same time, and so it was actually AJ Lee once again restarting that match because she was general manager at this point. And so, you know, a bit quick promotion, you know, in July you are, or Money in the Bank in July, you're referee, and then, you know, before you know it, you're general manager. That's like, that was almost like your quick ascent with our Performance Center day when you and I were there. Like, you know, you just move up the ladder, the corporate ladder, pretty quick here. So always good stuff. And so it really just a lot of back and forth here with AJ, Punk, Brian. You had their wedding as well too, and that's actually how AJ became general manager. So instead of marrying Brian, she became general manager, an offer that Vince McMahon offered her. Brian being attacked by The Rock, just a lot of different things happening here. What was playing out with some of these guys. AJ Lee, you actually, again, you know, like I said, becoming general manager, kind of dealing with the kind of having to go through the therapy, as we all know, and some of those vignettes that were just not great, but kind of dealing with that and kind of, you know, watching some of that stuff. Her stepping down eventually from her general manager role, becoming involved with John Cena as well too. You had Vicky Guerrero getting involved in this one. Again, it's like, I feel like I'm talking a lot about all these different players because I am talking a lot about different players. Cause like you said, Tom, it was so overbooked. Like there was just so much happening here. It just,
and these guys can wrestle and they can cut promos. I mean,
right.
It's just like, part of it is I actually think you could say this about both of these guys. They just never trusted them.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that Vince and, you know, maybe others in his family just look at both of these guys and they're like, yeah, you know, we got to script them. Like you can hand CM Punk a microphone. You can hand Daniel Bryan a microphone. Just let them cut a promo, you know, let them get their point across, let them work great matches. I don't think you need all this stuff with these guys. Oh, and by the way, the storylines suck. This isn't Macho Hogan, Liz here.
Right. Yeah. It's not a thing. And so, it's tough. And again, I'm sure you've read too, and a lot of our listeners have read as well. Like they are that's part of the releases. They say it's not, who knows the truth, but like they're going for the bigger guys now. And so we're beefing up again. Like, you know, Vince wants what he wants. And so, and you hear like some of these guys that get released saying like, you know, I was never going to get over, I wasn't the right size, I wasn't any of that stuff. And so, you know, sometimes like, you know, in the words of, you know, Big E, like just, you know, two meaty men bumping meat. Like, you know, sometimes that's just what it is. And so, yeah, it's just whether you like it or not, that's unfortunately what we're going to get.
But I will say this. I mean, you know, big guys used to be, you know, not the greatest workers. But I mean, if you're talking big guys like Lesnar, McIntyre, Lashley, Reigns.
Yep.
Okay. I can get behind that. I mean, even Strowman, I mean, he had a lot of good matches, you know? Yep. So I get it. I think my guess, if that's true, that they really are looking for these like big guys, my guess is Vince and whoever else looks at McIntyre, Lashley, Reigns. I don't know who I'm missing here, but they look at guys like that and they're like, that's who you put on the poster. That's the guy that, you know, you walk up to at the autograph signing and you're like, holy shit. So I just think they got a handful of them right now. Oh, by the way, can also cut a promo and can also work a 25-minute match. I mean, you know, McIntyre and Lashley, they had a pretty damn good Hell in a Cell match, right? So it's like these guys can, and I think that that's what they, I really think that that's what they want in their main events, you know?
Yeah.
Reigns, I mean, guys like that.
Yeah. No, and it makes sense. And it's just, you know, whether it's right or wrong, it's what it is. Like, and again, it's, as we've heard over the years, it's an audience of one. Like, yeah, the writers were writing for one, and that's Vince McMahon. So, okay. So, what do we got here? Some rankings, things like that. CM Punk number one, Daniel Bryan number four. For PWI that year, the torch here, CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan match was that perfect balance with two great wrestlers putting on a pay-per-view main event worthy show while mixing smoothly with a storyline involving AJ. Bryan continues to add to his reputation as one of, if not the top wrestler on the roster. It's not just the moves, but the timing, delivery, and fluidity. He has all the intangibles. He gave it 4.25 stars. He says, as much as I like to see Punk in the main event spot from time to time, he does a heck of a job stealing recent pay-per-views on the undercard by having some really good matches against Daniel Bryan while defending the championship. AJ was knocked out of the match during the early going, and with the no DQ stipulation, Punk and Danielson had a match that reminded me a lot of the Ring of Honor days, given some of the spots they threw in with a little hardcore sprinkled on top. The Observer Newsletter, 4.25 as well, too. All Monday, I had to listen to people explain the complex psychology behind her behavior in this match. In the end, after Raw, everyone was wrong, or if there was some sort of complex psychology, they dropped it Monday morning. Punk barely mentioned her at all, and they're moving forward with her and Bryan having a wedding next week, excuse me. So in the end, I don't know what the point of any of this was. They had a really good match, but it went on too long, dragging out the AJ stuff at the end. Whoa, excuse me. So I'll go first on this one.
Good.
I'm going to give it a 6 actually. Because again, I think I was reading one of the reviews, you know, or just some of the comments, it says, if you got to spend too long explaining it to someone, like you're doing something wrong. And so you couldn't like get this in an elevator pitch, you know, in 20, 30 seconds of how this is playing out, you couldn't do it. And so, yes, the in-ring work was pretty good. Like there was a lot of good spots and things like that. It did not need a no DQ stipulation with all the stuff, you know, but it didn't make it, you know, a ton of, you know, for that piece of it, like they, like you said, they could have gone out there and had a great match just to have a great match. They didn't need all this other stuff, you know, and that's fine. Like if you're going to overbook it, like in every month, this is the kind of match that you're going to get with these guys. Like I get, you got to keep it fresh. You got to keep new things happening. But at the same time, like, it doesn't mean that these guys can't go out and just work too. So let them go out, put on a good match. The fans were on their feet by the end of this one anyways. So why wouldn't you just let them go out? You know, I think back to when they had, you know, they were doing live promos, you know, at the WrestleMania with the rain delay and stuff like that. Like some of these guys know what they're doing. Like, and they will, and women too.
I know that's the rain delay. It was the best promos.
Right. And so, and they will show you what they're made of if you give them the opportunity, but you know, it's just, it's obvious, or, you know, one of the hardest jobs on the planet's got to be being a script writer, or, you know, a storyline writer in those rooms, because I can't imagine some of the stuff, the long hours and the, you know, it's, you know, 3 o'clock the day of Raw and it's time to rewrite the whole show. Like it just, you know, and this, I feel like a lot of this, you know, they were no great direction on it, just overbooked the shit out of it. And this is what we get. So I'm at a 6, which it's probably low, but that's what I'm going with.
I put you in a position here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 5.5.
Okay. Yeah.
I the booking's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how you sit in a room and that's what you come up with.
Yeah, you really got to wonder sometimes, like who, you know, whose fingerprint is on it.
It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good,
I think higher expectations for this one.
I think you and I both are a little, almost, I feel like this was an odd one where you and I, you know, we recently talked about matches that under delivered for us. I feel like this one kind of under delivered for us. Twitter, let us know. Maybe we missed something. I don't know. Like,
go back and watch it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Watch it with us. Let us kind of know what's happening here. And that's the thing. Like, go back and watch it and let us know, because maybe we did miss something here. Because, yeah, they both gave it 4.25, which I just, I don't know. That's tough for me. But hey, that's all right. That's why we do this show. That was one. That was our, again, finding good money in the bank. That's what you get. So we're going to roll with that one, though. And hey, and I had fun recording. That's all that matters.
That's, we always have fun. It's never,
yes. Right. Absolutely.
All right. So I don't even know what match we're covering next week.
What do I? I don't even know. What are we covering here? We are starting the road to SummerSlam. Okay. And so we're dropping a special match here that's tied to a Dark Side of the Ring. Cause it's an anniversary on that one. So
yeah,
I wanted to cover that one, but we can let them know at this one, episode payoff 103. We have Steve Austin, Stone Cold versus The Undertaker at SummerSlam 1998.
Good. I'm pumped.
That's one you put on the list. And so we got some good stuff coming. Like I said, we're on the road to SummerSlam. We're on the road to All Out. We got all women's pay-per-view coming up too. We've got, you know, we're Fight for the Fallen 8. There's just so much wrestling going on right now, but we got the new AEW show coming up too in 2 weeks here. Yeah. Just shit happening, man.
I might go to the taping in Pittsburgh. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, that, and I know too, and I understand you potentially could be making an appearance in Las Vegas as well too. So
I will almost definitely be at SummerSlam. Although I wish these damn prices would come down, because it's really expensive.
And that is
the only one that had that idea.
I know this is at the very end of the show. I know people have reached out to Tom before on tips on pricing and getting tickets as they get closer to a show. Message him, put it out on Twitter. Tom will, you know, he loves helping out people. That's what we're all about here on the payoff. Like
at payoff, Tom, at payoff, Jeff.
That's right. Like pay attention to that stuff, because Tom, like, hey, Tom wants to be there and celebrating too. It's going to be a show. I'm going to be watching from my couch, but I will be there in spirit. So yeah, absolutely. So, all right, let's send him home happy.
That's it.
Yeah, send him home happy. Let's do it.
Appreciate you listening. And as always, we'll see you next week on an all-new episode of The Payoff.